Please open your Bibles to the book of Philippians, the third chapter. Philippians chapter 3 in your Scofield Bible, page 1259 and 1259. And starting with the 7th verse, we'll read responsively through verse 14. Then let's stand, please, as is our custom to do at First Baptist. But what things were gained to me, those I counted lost for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but lost for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. May I know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And let's pray. Lord, we thank you. We have another service here at the church downtown. We thank you for that, and we thank you for the many, many services that most of us have experienced here. We thank you for those who are newer to our place, and they're just kind of getting their feet wet, so to speak. We thank you that whether new here or whether old-timers, we can all sit together in this place and hear from thee. We pray that you speak to our hearts in a very plain way and help us to be responsive to the leading of thy Spirit. And so bless our preacher and listener alike. In Jesus' name, amen.
I could call this tonight a little devotional talk. I could call it a brief message. I do not know exactly how I'm going to treat this message tonight, but I want to speak to you a very interesting, I think, little story that took place a year ago. Mrs. Howes and I were on a vacation. The Apostle Paul said in the text we read a while ago, he listed the circumstances between where he used to be and where he was at that time. For example, he said, I count not myself to have apprehended, but he said that he listed the things in his life that had transpired that caused him to get to the height that he was. I hope you'll listen carefully as I talk to you tonight about what I'm going to call climbing Mount Glory. Our Heavenly Father, we come now to this place where we've come for these many, many years. But we need you people. Yesterday's food will not take care of our strength today. Last week's gasoline cannot run our car this week. And last week's blessings and sermons cannot give us what we need for tomorrow and this week. And so do thou give to me what I need so I can share with the people their needs tonight, as we briefly look at this rather unusual little sermon. In Jesus' name, amen. The three most beautiful places that I've ever been are East Chicago, downtown Hammond, and Indiana Harbor. if I ever needed forgiveness for a statement, I need it now, Heavenly Father. The three most beautiful places that I've ever been, I think Mrs. Hiles would concur. Mrs. Hiles and I were counting the other day how many countries in which we had traveled, and we counted 34 countries. We know a little bit about the world. We have not been to certain parts of the world, not as much toward the eastern part of the world as we have the European side. But the three most beautiful places that I've ever seen are, one, the place where we were for a few days recently, called Lucerne, Switzerland. Lucerne is a little town down in the valley looking up at the Alps mountains. It's a gorgeous lake, and the end of that lake is a town called Lucerne. It is perhaps one of the three most beautiful places that I've ever seen. The second, not in order, but the second of the three, will be a place called the Amalfi Coast. A-M-A-L-F-I, the Amalfi Coast, on the coast of Italy. Please look at me now. Everybody look out this way and listen to me. I've never seen a more beautiful drive than the drive between a place called Sorrento, Italy, and Amalfi, Italy. It's a gorgeous place. The third of the three, and not in order, is the subject of my message tonight. The fjords of Norway. The fjords, I don't know how to describe them. They're bodies of water that go between cliffs that are hundreds of feet high. It's such a beautiful place. The most beautiful of all of these was a place we visited a year ago called Geiranger, Norway. You left the ocean, you'd been up to the Arctic Ocean, and the northernmost town in the entire world, Spitzenberg, I think was the name of it. It's the most northern town of any size in the world. Coming back down from there, we came to a place where we turned into these little fjords from the ocean itself and came to a gorgeous little place called Geiranger. They put us on a bus, and you can choose a tour. Everywhere you stop on a cruise, you can have a choice of, oh, two, three, four, five, or six different tours. For example, if you go to a certain city in Italy, you can choose to go to Florence, Italy, if you want to. You can choose another tour that will take you to Rome, Italy. I chose the tour that took us to McDonald's. And by the way, they're everywhere. There are literally everywhere you can find a McDonald's. And by the way, if they're there, we can find them. But Brother Keith has a worldwide list of all of them, and he tells us where they are. But we took this tour and got off the boat and got onto a bus. A beautiful mountain was overlooking us, and the tour guide said the tour is going to take you to the top of that mountain. The mountain was overlooking the place called Geiranger, which was at the level of the water. We're on the bus, and we went through some scary hairpin turns. I want you to know it was scary. It was so scary that Ms. Hiles even hugged me a little bit on the way up. And so we're going to go back there next year for our vacation. But we got about halfway up, and literally many of us had been scared out of our wits. It was such a, you just look over and there's nothing. You could spit and go all the way down to the bottom. And But it was just so scared, you're too dry to spit. But anyway, we'd nothing. You'd make those horseshoe or hairpin turns, and there was no bars there around. You wish you could go to a bar and get a little tipsy, but no bars, no rails. nothing. I mean, nothing but just down there. And these drivers would drive recklessly because they were used to it. And we got about halfway up, and they stopped at a little place, and we had a little refreshment together. And then the tour guide said, ladies and gentlemen, the rest of the trip is going to be scary. And I said, well, I certainly hope so. It's been sort of dull so far. But the, so she said this as a little female tour guide. And she said, I want to warn you that the ride from here to the top of this mountain is a very scary ride. Now she said, we have the best driver, and there's nothing to worry about. He's driven this again and again and again and again. And, it looked like, poison to me. One drop would kill you. And, don't make me wait like this for your response. But, so she said now, if any of you folks, for example, some of you older people, I don't know who she's talking about, but she said, you may be a little afraid, and it's going to be a scary ride to the top. She said this. She said that the name of this mountain is not what I'm going to call it, but she said, I call it Mount Glory. G-L-O-R-Y, Mount Glory. And she said, between where we are now and Mount Glory are some steep and sharp curves. When she said Mount Glory, I grabbed a 3x5 card out of my pocket, and I started sermon preparation, as Ms. Hiles would tell you, I do almost everywhere we go. And so I started taking notes. Now, there are three groups in this on this bus, in this little tour, concerning decisions about going on up to the top of Mount Glory. Now, we had been through some dangerous times, or some scary times, I don't think dangerous, but now then, they're getting scary beyond, really, reason. And three different groups of people made decisions. Group number one decided to stay in this restaurant but I will say that Ms. House came back and got me, picked me up on the way back. But, so group number one decided to stay there in the little restaurant, and they had a meal. They provided a meal, said, you want to stay here? We have a regular meal for you, and by the time you get through, the other folks come back down, and they'll take you. Now then, if you don't want to take the scary ride, then group number two, and by the way, some did that. Probably half of the bus decided to stay there in that little restaurant and have a meal while the rest of us mountain climbers went on to the top of Mount Glory. Second group, some of us paid the price and saw what was one of the most beautiful sights I've ever seen in my life. Mrs. House will tell you that it was unreal, the beauty of on the top of Mount Glory, looking down, and you could even see the ship in the harbor at Garanger, and the most beautiful sight, one of the most beautiful sights we've ever seen in our lives. So we went there. Now, there were two people that formed the third group. Group number one stayed down halfway and didn't want to pay the price to go to the top. And group number two said, we want to pay the price. We want to go all the way to the top of Mount Glory. Now then, group number three, two people. They went to the top, but they shut their eyes all the way to the top and never enjoyed the trip. Those two people were first names. I've forgotten their last names. First names were Jack and Beverly. But these two people, older people, these two people went all the way to the top, never saw a thing. And when you get off the bus, you walk over the edge and you look down, and there's nothing there except down. And it really is a scary thing. But with my great faith in God, I stayed on the bus. But these people were afraid to get off the bus. Two people, they wouldn't even get off the bus. I mean, they hadn't seen the thing. Now, they took the trip, but they didn't enjoy the trip. They stayed on the bus all the way to the top and never got off the bus when we got to the top, and never, we went over, took pictures of Geringer and the ship down there nestled in the harbor. And but these two people, they took the scary ride, and yet they never got off the bus at the top. Now, life is that way. I have watched a generation of people. There are groups of people. Between us and glory is a price to pay. Between you and the greatest Christian you can be, and between you where you are now and Mount Glory, there's a price to pay. Through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. We were there halfway up, and we could say, through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. 'Tis grace that let us safe thus far, and grace will lead us home. Now, if you want to go to the top and see what God has for you, you're going to have to pay the price to do so. You know, it's not cheap. God has no bargain basement sales. He has no Kmart Blue Light specials. Now, you're going to have to pay the price, just like we did, a dangerous journey, a scary journey, if we got to the top. So, most of us climb for a little while, and then all of us have to face the same decision that we faced in the middle of Mount Glory. Will we stop here while others fight to win the prize and sail through bloody seas? Will we stop here, let others go on to the mountaintop, and we get less than we ought to get, and receive less than we ought to receive, and do less for God than we ought to do? Now then, well, everybody in this room tonight faces the same decision that we faced halfway up Mount Glory. Are you willing to pay the price? The world is filled with Christian people tonight that are just at ease in Zion, complacent. I don't know and I don't care. All I want's my rocking chair. I'm not going to go to hell. I'm going to go to heaven. I'm God's child, and that's all I want. I don't know about you, brother, but I want to climb to the top of Mount Glory. Now, if I climb the top of Mount Glory, I'm going to have to pay the price. Some want to stay in the middle and not pay the price. In spiritual life, there are others that pay the price and see the top of Mount Glory. How many times have you heard me quote the song, "I'm pressing on the upward way. New heights I'm gaining every day. Still praying as I onward bound, Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's table land. A higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground." But if you ever see the top of Mount Glory, if you ever know the blessings of Mount Glory, if you never feel the power of Mount Glory, if you ever see the victories of Mount Glory, you're going to have to pay the price, because from here to the top is a pretty scary ride. On the other hand, some pay the price. Wake up, son, back here. Hey, sit up straight. Sit up. We're having church here. It's not a slumber party. Sit up there. Some pay the price, and yet they do not enjoy it. They're like the two people that close their eyes all the way up to the top and wouldn't get off the bus. I don't know about you, bless God, but I want the whole deal. I want the works. I walked into a barber shop one day years ago, and I saw a sign there that said haircut so much and shave so much, and then it said the works. And I said, that's what I want. I don't want to miss anything on the journey, bless God. I want all that God has to give me and all that God has to offer. So, I got a haircut, and I got a shave. But there was one other thing in the works. A little lady grabbed my hand, started to hold my hand. And I said, what are you doing? Of course, I have that trouble all the time. Ladies want to hold my hand. But she said, it's time for a manicure. I think she said something about a pedicure, too. Is that thing a pedicure? Huh? You know, ain't no woman going to pet me. It's the prep woman right there. But I'm cured for that. But anyway, she wanted to give me a manicure. I said, man, I don't want the works. But brother, in the Christian life, I want the works. All to Jesus I surrender. All to him I freely give. Jesus, I, my cross have taken, all to leave and follow thee. And tonight, I invite you to make your decision. Are you going to stay down here, halfway down, and not enjoy the beauties of the dedicated Christian life? Or are you going to join us on the journey to the top of Mount Glory and be all that you can be and do all that you can do and see all that you can see and go everywhere that you can go for God? I invite you tonight to come to the top of Mount Glory with us. A half century ago and more, we as a group of young preachers started to Mount Glory. I would say that there are probably 1,000 young preachers. Don't miss me now. There are probably 1,000 young preachers in our group. We started off years ago and on our way. Now in this half a century, I've seen some of these young preachers drop out and never get on the bus. I've seen some of these preachers go halfway up and not be willing to pay the price to see the top of Mount Glory. They don't want to pay the price. They want to compromise, turn back, pussyfooters, air ticklers, back scratchers, penny pinchers, nickel nippers, sauce open and pink tin lemonade compromisers who say, I just want to be an average preacher. I don't want to pay the price to go to the top. Bless God tonight. You preacher boys, you look to God tonight and say, dear God, I want all you have for me. I want to do all I can do for you, be all I can be for you, go all I can go for you. I want you to say, dear God, I'll pay the price. Take me to the top of Mount Glory. I think of an evangelist, a wonderful man, who came to the halfway up Mount Glory and decided to compromise and turn back and join the National Council of Churches crowd. I think of another evangelist that decided, he was in our group, about my age. He was walking with us up Mount Glory. He decided not to go to the top. He joined the charismatic crowd because he thought he could get bigger crowds that way. He joined the charismatic crowd. I think of an evangelist who was one of the best, who decided to go to the popular crowd, decided to go to Rome, had an audience with the Pope, and even kissed his toe. You heard me say this. If I ever go to Rome, if I can get an audience with the Pope, I'm going to take it. I'm going to go there. When he asked me to kiss his toe, I'm going to amputate the Pope's big toe. But anyway, this young evangelist, he turned. He's lost for the cause of Christ. Why? He wasn't willing. By the way, it's cold up there on Mount Glory. And there are not many people up there on Mount Glory. The popular crowd is down there at the base of the mountain or halfway up. But let me tell you somebody who is there. The Lord Jesus Christ is there. And the blessings of God are there. And I invite you tonight not to be satisfied with the usual at ease in Zion status quo kind of Christianity. But join us and go up to the top of Mount Glory. Some paid the price and never enjoyed Mount Glory. I think of a pastor in California, built the biggest Baptist church in California, and a great man, and building a great work for God. He got the top of Mount Glory and decided to go back down and quit the ministry, and now for a number of years he's been selling insurance in California. I think about a pastor out east who was a wonderful, fundamental pastor. He looked to this place as his headquarters and me as his hero, believe it or not, back 20 years ago. But he outgrew our crowd and decided to run with the wrong crowd and got with the John MacArthur crowd and the evangelical crowd and decided to join the... I want to warn you, but the popular crowd's down there. They're not up on the top of Mount Glory. But a few, like Joe Boyd, in his 80s, kept on climbing. A few got to Mount Glory. I asked the fellows tonight in the office. I said, name me five pastors. Name me five independent fundamental Baptist pastors in America over 70. I knew your name. One? I forgot his name. I remember he's a very good-looking fellow and pastor at First Baptist Church of Hammond. But we couldn't think about but one pastor in our independent Baptist movement. I'm sure there are some. We couldn't think of any. Why? Where are they? Compromising. Halfway down the mountain. Selling out because they don't want to pay the price. Selling out to the modern generation and the rock music crowd with religious words to it. And the contemporary worship crowd, and the National Council of Churches crowd, and the charismatic crowd and the Southern Baptist crowd. Brother, where I want to go, there's no crowd up there, but Jesus is up there.
For very few of our crowd ever got to Mount Glory. And I'm not saying tonight that I'm there. The Apostle Paul said, I have climbed, I have not yet apprehended. But he said, I have climbed thus far and listed the things that had caused the climb and the advantages of the climb. But Paul said, I'm pressing on. I'm pressing on toward the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. What he was saying was, I'm on going up the mountain, and I aim to get to the top of Mount Glory. America's full of churches tonight that had 1,000 this morning and 200 tonight. And they'll have 75 Wednesday. Bless God, every single child of God ought to be here Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, and all tithe and be separated and clean. There are no double standards. If tithing is for one, it's for everybody. If Wednesday night's for one, it's for everybody. If that Bible's for one, it's for everybody. If prayer's for one, it's for everybody. If soul winning is for one, it's for everybody. If one woman's not supposed to wear pants, but supposed to wear a nice, modest skirt, then every woman ought to wear a nice, modest, linked skirt. If one man shouldn't wear earrings and necklaces, then nobody ought to wear, no man ought to wear earrings and necklaces. I'm trying to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, God knows no double standards, and God is calling each of us to go to the top of Mount Glory and pay the price. I went through this the other day a little bit. I did something that I enjoyed. I want you to listen to me. I'm going to talk to you for a while now. Out on the campus of Howells Anderson College is a little white church building that's very precious to me. It is the building that housed the first full-time church I ever pastored, the Grange Hall Baptist Church. That's the very building. Brother Young led a group of men, so many of our men, went down, and other churches in the area came and helped, and they dismantled the building. I bought that building, and they dismantled it and came and reassembled it just like it was down there. It has the same floor, the same walls, the same type pews, everything is exactly like it was when I pastored years ago. But you compare it to all those buildings on campus, and it's just not very much there. And I went in that little building, walked around, relived the days. There's a Sunday school class over here. One little room, Mrs. Joe Boyd taught that class while Joe and his wife and family were in Marshall, Texas, members of our church. And on the other side, across the building, was my little study where I prayed and counseled and studied. And then I took a trip. I took a trip all over our college campus. Those many buildings out there at Howells Anderson College. I remembered the beginning of the college. I remember the night that I went to see they call him a priest out there, and told him I wanted to buy that campus. I walked in, he puffed on his cigarette, straightened his skirt, and I said, I want to buy your campus. Now, I understand you only have 40 students of this big campus out here. I want to buy it. He said, he jumped up and he said, who are you? I said, I'm Jack Hiles, pastor of First Baptist Church. He said, let me tell you, Mr. Hiles. I said, yes, ma'am. Let me tell you, Mr. Hiles. He said, we only have 40 students, but this campus is not for sale. And if it ever is sold, the Baptist dead sure will be the last people we'd sell it to. And I said, it's exactly right. The Baptist will be the last people that you'll sell it to. And I remembered that those days we prayed for the money. I remember those nights every month, one night a month, I'd go out and take my shoes off, walk across the campus and claim it for God. I continued my journey from the campus. I went to Baptist City, where our high school, grade school, and junior high school are located. I guess now, I don't know how many buildings there, probably 25 buildings or so are there now. I'm not sure how many, maybe 20, 25. I remember the night the deacons got in the bus and drove out there, and it was a wilderness.
You couldn't see 10 feet in front of you, just a bunch of trees and brush, like a wilderness. I remember clearing those places off, building those streets, laying the sewer lines. I didn't lay the sewer lines myself, but I helped raise the money. And the light poles and the light wires and pouring the concrete for the streets and building all those buildings out there. And then I went to the mausoleum and saw the mausoleum and the cemetery and remembered the buying of that property for the cemetery and the building of the mausoleum. Then I went back to the new school out here for the educational school we have out here on Holman Avenue, our City Baptist High School, if you please, on Holman Avenue. And I remembered how I went down and dealt with the Jewish people to buy that. I came down here to this location and relived the days when we had the fire over there in that building and built this building, and the wall was right here, then tore that wall down and built the rest of this building, and then later on put the mezzanine up there, and then these overhangs over here, and then built the building across the street and bought all these stores down here, all the property we own down here. I remember the building of the education building next door, and all of that. I kept on going. I went to City Baptist Grade School, and I remember buying that church down there from the United Church of Christ years ago, and now it's City Baptist Grade School. And the new building out in Munster, we just purchased debt-free. And then I saw the map on the wall in my study and saw the list of 1,000 preacher boys' names pastoring churches all over this world who came through First Baptist Church of Hammond, Indiana. And then I thought of that little Grange Hall church out there. We bought it for about, I think, $2,000. I compared that little church with this massive ministry we have here now. And I got to thinking about the journey. They're preacher boys tonight. You'd like to stand where I stand someday, but you don't want to climb to where I am. You want somebody to call you some church, or you want somebody, you want to have a famous name. Let me tell you something, brother. If you ever get to the top of Mount Glory, you're going to have the fire scared out of you again and again and again, and you've got a price to pay, and you're not going to get to the top of Mount Glory. I don't care if you're a preacher or a layman, and we have a generation of lay people that say, I'm not going to be satisfied with just going to heaven and making salvation an insurance policy against going to hell. Bless God, I want all that God has. I want the works. Are you a preacher boy? Would you stand right there? Not on the step, just right there. That's it. I want to talk to you a few minutes. If you thought one day that you'd stand and preach to a crowd like this, you'd be the happiest young preacher in the world, wouldn't you? Yes, you would. Don't lie to me, son. Sit down. I want the other guy to stand up here. I want a guy who wants to go to Mount Glory. Another guy wants to stay down there in the sewer line. You'd like to someday preach to 8,000 of the people, wouldn't you? Get him right with God, too, after you set that down, would you, please? You'd like to someday maybe have a great college, wouldn't you? And you wouldn't mind someday having a ministry like this ministry here, would you? And by the way, there are thousands of preachers all over America to whom this is the model church. This is the example church. And son, I want to talk to you for a few minutes. I want to tell you how to get here. You'll have to go back to where I went in 1957. When the Southern Baptist Convention called me in, they wanted to have lunch with me one day. And they said, son, in the Ohio's, you're one of the up-and-coming young preachers in the Southern Baptist Convention. I had spoken the year before to the State Baptist Training Convention to 4,000 people. I was just in my 20s. I had spoken the year before to the Texas Baptist Sunday School Convention, 5,000 people in Abilene, Texas. I had spoken at the State Convention of Texas before 7,000 people at the annual State Southern Baptist State Texas Baptist Convention in the Coliseum in San Antonio, and had been invited to speak at the Kemper Arena in Kansas City to 16,000 people at the Southern Baptist Convention. But they called me and they said, "Mr. Hines, we understand you've been running around with a guy named John R. Rice." I thought you're going to brag on me. I said, "Yeah." And they said, "We also understand that you preach for him some." I said, "That's right." They said, "We understand that you're having him and a guy named Lee Robertson in your church soon." I said, "That's right. I thought that was good." "Is it true," they said, "that you're going to preach under a big tent in Corpus Christi, Texas, for a guy named Roloff?" See, the three R's that got me in trouble weren't reading and writing and arithmetic. It's Rice, Robertson, Roloff that got me in trouble. He said, "Mr. Hines, for your information, you continue your association with these three men, and you have preached your last sermon at the Southern Baptist Committee meeting. Now, take your choice, Mr. Hines. I'm saying, son, I'm going to tell you how to get to Mount Glory. There's some pretty steep turns on the way to Mount Glory, and some pretty scary places on the way to Mount Glory. And if you get to Mount Glory, you're going to have to pay the price." I jumped up, hit the table there where we're eating. Food went everywhere. I baptized one big shot in iced tea. Gave one a spinach toupee. And hollered as loud as I could, hit the table and said, "Brethren, I am not for sale." Now, that's on the journey between where you are and where I am. I'm not the top of Mount Glory, but I'm on my way to the top. But between you and me, there's a meeting at the Southern Baptist Big Shots. And there's a little sharp curve or two you'll have to endure. If you get from there to here, son, you'll have to go back to October 10, 1957, when they voted Joe Boyd and Jack Hiles out of the Southern Baptist Convention because we wouldn't give one dime to their program and to their schools that didn't believe that book right there was the Word of God. And son, you see that quarter right there? I wouldn't give one quarter to any institution that didn't believe that book right there was the Word of God. They gave us a choice, support the institutions or get out. And we chose not to support the institutions. And they said, "You'll never have a big crowd to preach to." But if I never did, I still want to get to top of Mount Glory. Between where you are and where I am, there's some battles, son. There's some sharp hairpin curves and some dangerous road. But I want to tell you, it's been a wonderful trip. I wouldn't trade it for the world. Between where you are tonight, son, and where I am, where you'd like to be, is August 23rd, 1959. My wife and I and our three children, she was expecting our baby girl, Cindy, at the time. And we left our church in Texas. We left our hometown. We left where my mother lived, and my sister lived, and my wife's mother lived, and her brother lived, and all of her relatives, our entire background, and came up north. We didn't want to come, son. But you see, you don't do what you want to do when you get to Mount Glory. You follow the tour guide, and he'll take you to Mount Glory. And we left, and you'll have to leave. You'll have to say, "Jesus, I, my cross, have taken all to leave and follow thee." You have to do what that young couple back there is going to do in a few weeks, leaving their home, their area, their church, those they love the most, and going to Russia, to Moscow, to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. Between where you are and where I am, there is an October 23rd, 1959. Son, between where you are and I am tonight, there is a May 10th, 1960. When a rich man stood on that sidewalk out there and pointed the buses across the street. And he said, "Reverend," he said, "those buses are going to go. I represent seven multimillionaires, the fellows that carry the financial load of this church. And we're sick and tired of those buses and little bus kids running our services." He said, "Those buses are going, or we'll foreclose on the building and you'll lose these buildings." He said, "You got to Sunday to make your decision." Oh, by the way, that's a stop on the way to Mount Glory. He said, you'll lose your buildings, we'll foreclose, you'll lose everything you've got. Ladies and gentlemen, I told those big shots that I'd take the bus bids over those rich people and take my chances on God providing. And tonight, we own $70 million worth of buildings and property, and we don't owe anybody one red cent. We're debt-free. Why? Because God's on our glory. That's why. That's between where you are and where I am. And not many folks will get where I am. You try to name five independent Baptist preachers that are over 70 that are still preaching, still pastoring. You try that. We counted only five, six or seven, I think, who are even still preaching. I'm the only one that could think of pastoring. Put me in like Lee Robertson, Tom Malone, and others, Carl Hatch, that are still preaching, but they're not pastoring anymore. Son, between where you are and where I am, there's the July 1960, where this church voted whether or not to leave the American Baptist Convention and to clean up our church and make it a real old-fashioned, old-time religion, New Testament Baptist church. Oh, by the way, son, that Sunday, 406 people walked out and started another church. They were good people, not bad people, but people that never had been taught right or trained right and did not realize what it was to be independent King James Bible Baptist people. And we saw 406 people walk out. That's between where you are, where I am. I wonder if you'll pay the price. Oh, you'll sit in the pews in Alex Anderson College and wave that Bible. But wait till there's no college there. And wait till there's no professors there. And wait till you're out yonder somewhere by yourself, alone, and have to face the firing squad by yourself. I wonder if you really want to get there. Here. There's another stop, hairpin curve. That's on June 1984 when I had one of the darkest moments of my life. And May the 1st, 1989 when I fought the battle of my life. Between where you are and where I am, there are 9 million miles to travel on airplanes. Between where you are and I am, there are 5,000 nights to be away from your family. Between where you are and where I am, there are 65,000 sermons. There are nasty letters, hatred, battles, enemies. It's a dangerous road. But son, let me tell you something tonight. It's wonderful up there. It's wonderful. The price is worth it all. And so I say to you, representing all of our preacher boys, get to the top. Get to the top of Mount. Thank you, son. Give him a hand. I'm an old man. I'm a grizzled veteran. There's spiritual scars unseen as you sit in the pew. But I wouldn't trade the journey for anybody else's journey in the whole world. I'm a nut. I'm a fanatic. I'm a fool. But I'm just near enough to the top of Mount Rory to want to make the rest of the journey. And so tonight, join me. Join me. Join me. Rich boys, join me. When you get 73 years old, 2 weeks from 74th birthday, you look out, I want you to look out and say that the crowd I went to school with is still standing just like they said they would. Boy, it's one thing to jump up and holler in Howells Anderson College and wave that King James Bible, but try that by yourself at Southern Baptist Convention someday. Must I be carried to the skies on flowery beds of ease, while others ought to win the prize and sail through bloody seas? No, I must fight if I would gain. Increase my courage, Lord. I'll bear the toil, endure the pain, supported by thy word. Ladies and gentlemen, God's looking for some mountain climbers. God's looking for people who want to go to the top of Mount Glory. And you're just high enough now, hundreds of us, just high enough now where you've got to make the decision. Am I going to sell out for God? Or am I going to be just a normal, average, complacent kind of an at ease and Zion Christian? I want to tell you tonight, it's a dangerous trip. That little guide, very one of the, probably the best little guide we ever had, wouldn't you think? She was a tremendous little young gal, a college gal, and charming personality. She said, "Now, folks, I want to warn you, the rest of the trip is scary. Good night." I'd already had aortic stenosis on the way up. Mrs. Howes and I looked at each other. She said, "What do you think?" And she said, "I want to go to the top." I said, "I'll be praying for you." But we got on the bus, and we had the scariest ride I've ever had in my life. It's where I learned to pray. We got to the top. Hear me carefully. You couldn't see a thing. Solid clouds. And there we were up there with our cameras to take a picture of a cloud. Solid clouds. And we thought, what, did we go through all of that scare just for this? And finally, the clouds began to break. And finally I saw a little hole in the cloud, and then a little bigger and a little bigger, and opened up before us a scene the like of which you'll seldom ever see. It's cloudy on the way to the top of Mount Glory, but when you get there, it's a wonderful place, and you'll be glad that you made the climb. Come on and join this holy band, and on to glory go, to dwell on that celestial mount where joys immortal flow. Join us. Would you bow your heads, please?